What up, guys? It's the kid, Polo Paul, the host of the Man Stash Podcast, coming to you guys once again with a new episode of the Man Stash Minute. As you all know, all month long, I am covering up Black leaders and prominent figures in honor of Black History Month. Now, I know that I have missed releasing an episode yesterday, and rightfully so. I had to watch one of the GOATs of the game get his 7th, and to that, I would like to say congratulations to Tom Brady and big homie Gronk. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. However, in honor of Black History Month and to highlight another GOAT of his profession, both in and out of the ring, I would first like to introduce this fine gentleman right here. This king was a boxer, a philanthropist, a social activist, who is universally regarded as one of the greatest athletes of the 20th century. He became an Olympic gold medalist in 1960 and the world heavyweight boxing champion in 1964. Within his philanthropy, he earned the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2005. This is none other than the GOAT Muhammad Ali. So stay tuned for this great man's life and legacy right here on the Man Stash Minute.
This is the Man Stash Minute.
We're back after the break, and this is the Man Stash Minute. We're highlighting the GOAT, Muhammad Ali. So let's go ahead and start with his early life and childhood. Ali was born January 17, 1942, in Louisville, Kentucky. His birth name was Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr. And at an early age, young Clay showed that he wasn't afraid of any bout, inside or outside of the ring. Growing up in the segregated South, he experienced racial prejudice and discrimination firsthand. At the age of 12, Clay discovered his talent for boxing through an odd twist of fate. After his bike was stolen, Clay told a police officer, Mr. Joe Martin, that he wanted to beat up the thief. Quote, "Well, you better learn how to fight before you start challenging people," unquote, Martin reportedly told him at the time. In addition to being a police officer, Martin also trained young boxers at a local gym. Clay started working with Martin to learn how to spar and soon began his boxing career. In his first amateur bout in 1954, he won the fight by split decision. Clay went on to win the 1956 Golden Gloves tournament for novices in the light heavyweight class. 3 years later, he won the National Golden Gloves Tournament of Champions, as well as the Amateur Athletics Union's national title for the light heavyweight division. In 1960, Clay won a spot on the U.S. Olympic boxing team and traveled to Rome, Italy to compete. At 6 feet 3 inches tall, Cassius Clay was an imposing figure in the ring, but he also became known for his lightning speed and fancy footwork. After winning his first three bouts, Clay defeated Zbigniew Piaseczki, I'm sorry I butchered that, of Poland, to win the light heavyweight Olympic gold medal. After his Olympic victory, Clay was heralded as an American hero. He soon turned professional with the backing of the Louisville sponsoring group and continued overwhelming all of his opponents in the ring. Clay also joined the Black Muslim group Nation of Islam in 1964. At first, he called himself Cassius X, before settling on the name Muhammad Ali. The boxer eventually converted to Orthodox Islam during the 1970s. Ali started a different kind of fight with his outspoken views against the Vietnam War. Drafted into the military in April of 1967, he refused to serve on the grounds that he was practicing Muslim minister with religious belief that prevented him from fighting. He was then arrested for committing a felony and almost immediately stripped of his world title and boxing license. The U.S. Department of Justice pursued a legal case against Ali, denying his claim for a conscientious objector status. He was found guilty of violating selective service laws and sentenced to 5 years in prison in June 1967, but remained free while appealing his conviction. Unable to compete professionally in the meantime, Ali missed more than 3 prime years of his athletic career. Ali returned to the ring back in 1970 with a win over Jerry Quarry, and the U.S. Supreme Court eventually overturned the conviction in June 1971. Ali had a career record of 56 wins, 5 losses, and 37 knockouts before his retirement from boxing in 1981 at the age of 39. Often referring to himself as, quote, the greatest, which he was, Ali was not afraid to sing his own praises. He was known for boasting about his skills before a fight and for his colorful descriptions and phrases. In one of his more famously quoted descriptions, Ali told reporters that he could, quote, float like a butterfly and sting like a bee in the boxing ring. A few of his more well-known matches include the following. Sonny Liston. After winning at the 1960 Olympics, Ali took out British heavyweight champion Henry Cooper in 1963. He then knocked out Sonny Liston in 1964 to become the heavyweight champion of the world. The next one will be Joe Frazier. In 1971, Ali took on Joe Frazier in what has been called the fight of the century. Frazier and Ali went toe-to-toe for 14 rounds before Frazier dropped Ali with a vicious left hook in the 15th. Ali recovered quickly, but the judges awarded the decision to Frazier, handing Ali his first professional loss after 31 wins. After suffering a loss to Ken Norton, Ali beat Frazier in a 1974 rematch. In 1975, Ali and Frazier locked horns again for their grudge match in Quezon City, Philippines, dubbed the Thriller in Manila. The bout nearly went the distance, with both men delivering and absorbing tremendous amounts of punishment. However, Frazier's trainer threw in the towel after the 14th round, giving the hard-fought victory to Ali. The next we have is the great George Foreman. Another legendary Ali fight took place in 1974 against undefeated heavyweight champion George Foreman. Billed as the, quote, Rumble in the Jungle, this bout was organized by promoter Don King and held in Kinshasa, Zaire. For once, Ali was seen as the underdog to the younger, masterful Foreman, but he silenced the critics with his masterful performance. He baited Foreman into throwing wild punches with his technique rope-a-dope before stunting his opponent with an 8th-round knockout to reclaim the heavyweight title. The next we have Leon Spinks. After losing his title to Leon Spinks in February 1978, Ali defeated him in a September 1978 rematch, becoming the first boxer to win the heavyweight championship 3 times. The next one will be Larry Holmes following a brief retirement. Ali returned to the ring to face Larry Holmes in 1980, but was overmatched against the younger champion. Following one final loss in 1981 to Trevor Burbick, the boxing great retired from the sport at age 39. Within his home and family life, Ali married his first wife, Sonji Roy, in 1964. They then divorced after 1 year when she refused to adopt the Nation of Islam dress and customs. Ali married his second wife, 17-year-old Belinda Boyd, in 1967. Boyd and Ali had 4 children together. Miriam was born in 1969, Jamila and Liban were born both in 1970, and Muhammad Ali Jr. was born in 1972. Boyd and Ali divorced in 1976 thereafter. At the same time Ali was married to Boyd, he traveled openly with Veronica Portia, who became his third wife in 1977. The pair had 2 daughters together, including Layla Ali, who followed in Ali's footsteps by becoming a champion boxer herself. Portia and Ali divorced in 1986. Ali married his 4th and final wife, Yolanda, nicknamed Lonnie, in 1986. The pair had known each other since Lonnie was just 6 years old and Ali was 21. Their mothers were best friends and raised their families on the same street. Ali and Lonnie couple remained married until his death and had 1 son together, Asad. Despite the progression of Parkinson's and the onset of spinal stenosis, he remained active in public life. Ali raised funds for Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was on hand to celebrate the inauguration of the first African-American president in January 2009 when President Barack Obama was sworn into office. In his retirement, Ali devoted most of his time to philanthropy. Over the years, Ali supported the Special Olympics and the Make-A-Wish Foundation, among other organizations. In 1996, he lit the Olympic cauldron at the Summer Olympic Games in Atlanta, an emotional moment in sports history. Ali traveled to numerous countries, including Mexico and Morocco, to help out those in need. In 1998, he was chosen to be a United Nations Messenger of Peace because of his work in developing nations. Quote, "I am an ordinary man who worked hard to develop the talent I was given," unquote, he said. Quote, "Many fans wanted to build a museum to acknowledge my achievements. I wanted more than a building to house my memorabilia. I wanted a place that would inspire people to be the best that they could possibly be at whatever they choose to do, and to encourage them to be respectful of one another," unquote. Ali unfortunately died on June 3rd, 2016 in Phoenix, Arizona, after being hospitalized for what was reportedly a respiratory issue. He was 74 years old. The boxing legend had been suffering from Parkinson's disease and spinal stenosis. In early 2015, the athlete battled pneumonia and was hospitalized for a severe urinary tract infection. Years before his passing, Ali had planned his own memorial services, saying he wanted to be, quote, "inclusive of everyone, where we give as many people an opportunity that want to pay their respects to me," unquote. The three-day event, which took place in Ali's hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, included an I Am Ali Festival of Public Arts, Entertainment, and Educational Offerings sponsored by the city, an Islamic prayer program, and a memorial service. Prior to the memorial service, a funeral procession traveled 20 miles through Louisville past Ali's childhood home, his high school, the first boxing gym where he trained along Ali Boulevard, as tens of thousands of fans tossed flowers on his hearse and cheered his name. The champ's memorial service was held at the KFC Yum Center Arena with close to 20,000 people in attendance. Speakers included religious leaders from various faiths, Atallah Shabazz, Malcolm X's eldest daughter, broadcaster Brian Gumbel, former President Bill Clinton, comedian Billy Crystal, Ali's daughters Miriam and Rashida, and his widow Lonnie. Muhammad indicated that when the end came for him, he wanted us to use his life and his death as a teaching moment for young people and for his country and for the world, Lonnie said. In effect, he wanted us to remind people who are suffering that he had seen the face of injustice, that he had grew up during segregation, and that during his early life, he was not free to be who he wanted to be, but he never became embittered enough to quit or to engage in violence. Former President Clinton spoke about how Ali found self-empowerment. Quote, "I think he decided before he could possibly have worked it all out, and before fate and time could work their will on him, he decided he would never be disempowered. He decided that not his race, nor his place, the expectation of others, positive, negative, or otherwise, would strip him from the power to write his own story." Crystal, who was a struggling comedian when he became friends with Ali, said of the boxing legend, quote, "Untimely, he became a silent messenger for peace who taught us that life is best when you build bridges between people, not walls," unquote. "You have inspired us and the world to be the best version of ourselves," Rashida Ali spoke to our father. "May you live in paradise, free from suffering. You shook up the world in life, and now you're shaking up the world in death. Now you are free to be with your creator. We love you so much, Daddy. Until we meet again, fly, butterfly, fly." Pallbearers included Will Smith and former heavyweight champions such as Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis. Ali was buried at the Cave Hill National Cemetery in Louisville, Kentucky. Ali's statue as a legend continues to grow even after his death. He is celebrated not only for his remarkable athletic skills, but his willingness to speak his mind and courage to challenge the status quo. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the life and legacy of the great Muhammad Ali. In the very end, well, in retrospect, his entire life from childhood to champion superstar GOAT status, he not only taught us, but inspired us with self-empowerment, creating your own life narrative, and to be wherever it is that you want to be, but to be sure that you're doing it in the way of integrity and the intent to do so within peace. So in a world where we are now forced socially to be isolated, find ways to still build those bridges and tear down the walls of self-doubt, negative self-worth, anxiety, anger, and hate. Because just like life of this great man, The real and true fight in life is to be fighting every day to be the best versions of ourselves. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode or previous ones. However, tell me what you think, thoughts and opinions through my email, themanstashpodcast@gmail.com, or follow me at IG and on Facebook for news, updates, and further information on the podcast. Stay up and stay blessed. And until the next time, Stashers, this is Polo Paul signing out. Bow.
I love you, Daddy.